So I feel like I want to carry on the theme of the heart and love and cultivating wholesome qualities. And you know, this path is, as I said before, is about cultivation. It's about letting go. So in a way, it's like we start with letting go of the bad habits that pull us back, the harmful tendencies. And the five precepts are a kind of a protection for us, so as not to kind of go too far off and to establish a good foundation for our practice and for our life and for our relationships with others. So we begin by recognizing the harmful tendencies that we may have learned or come in with or developed, or any combination of those in a lifetime. And we recognize that, you know, we have a chance to transform those. We don't have to just follow the same old habits, even though it can be hard work changing them. So we let go of what is pulling us back, what is dragging us down, what is cluttering our heart and mind, and we cultivate the wholesome qualities, the beautiful, the generous, the expansive, the present qualities. And, you know, it can seem like this is about, you know, this is like a becoming perfect project, you know, to try to become a perfect person. And it's very much not what it's about. You know, as a person or a personality, we're never going to be perfect. Personalities by their nature are imperfect, just as bodies are imperfect and everything in samsara is imperfect. So it's all changing, it's all falling apart. It has imperfection built into the system. So to try to make the personality perfect is an exhausting and eventually a bit fruitless exercise. But to transform the obscurations of the heart and mind, to recognize what is obscuring this, the radiance that can come through this being you, your particular instrument, to recognize what's obscuring that and to work on knowing those obscurations and letting them go and cultivating good qualities is a worthwhile project. It's an essential part of the path. And then eventually we have to let it all go. So the, you know, refraining from doing harm and doing good, cultivating the good, are supports for letting go. They're not an end in and of themselves. But without them, it's very hard to come to a place of letting go. And, you know, we grow up in cultures of, you know, every culture has its good sides and its very limiting sides. And the Buddha was, you know, in a way, creating a new culture in his time in India. He did literally create a different culture within, like a subculture within the culture that was dominant there, where there was quite strong caste system, racial oppression, warring. There were people with enormous amounts of money, and there were poor people, there were people who were enslaved. There were women who were kept in harems, who didn't get to go out and see the light of day. You know, it was not a perfect society by any stretch of the imagination. And he created this subculture, in a way, Buddhist subculture in India, the monastic culture and the lay community, the upasikas, those who are practicing in family life. So he established this kind of alternative culture where value was given to a person's ethics and to a person's conduct and wisdom. So these were the qualities, and these are the qualities that truly shine, you know, truly, regardless of any a social standing or health or illness, age, ability, disability, race, gender, all of the anything, the true, beautiful, noble qualities are those of one's conduct, how one meets the world, and one's ethics, and the insight that may have arisen within the heart and mind of any individual. So he was very clear about this, and it wasn't just a position he was taking, but more like illuminating a truth that was lost in society. So much of the Buddha's teaching is guiding us to come back to find those noble qualities in ourselves. And it can be a struggle at times, and it's a very worthwhile struggle. So don't be put off if it's hard work. And it may be that at times we feel like giving up, you know, maybe it's just not worth it. Maybe I just enjoy myself, you know, have a nice time and, you know, die when it's time to die. I mean, what is all this hard work? These Buddhists make it so hard. Well, maybe we've done that a few times already. Maybe we've been around a while. And there's something that knows, well, maybe that's really not it. I certainly started off in that way in my life, thinking, oh, that's the way, you know, party and have fun and just try and get away from those difficult things. It's a bit of a fruitless pursuit. So turning towards the source of the trouble, which is in our own heart and mind, and recognizing that we can transform that. We are empowered to transform that. It's a wonderful thing. So I have a few things I wanted to read, and I think I'm going to begin with bell hooks, as we just recently lost bell hooks from the world. That's great light. And Bell, among her many other strengths and gifts, bell hooks recognized a particular aspect of the Buddha's teaching that was not really lifted up in Western society, and that was the quality of love. And so she recognized that this is actually essential, and took that on, not just speaking about it, but took that on as a practice over decades of cultivating a true, deep love. And this is a little post-it that I've had on my wall for a very long time. I keep it on my wall because I need to keep reminding myself. It's a training for me. And she wrote, "The moment we choose love, we begin to move against domination, against oppression. The moment we choose love, we begin to move toward freedom, to act in ways that liberate ourselves and others." I'm going to read that again. The moment we choose love, we begin to move against domination and oppression. The moment we choose love, we begin to move toward freedom, to act in ways that liberate ourselves and others. So to me, this is a very profound statement, because it's pointing to the oppression and domination of a society that we may have grown up in. And it also points to the oppression and domination that can happen within ourselves, the way we can meet our experience, or even how we can meet the practice, try to control and suppress and dominate. So she's pointing to this transformative power of love, if we can meet our experience with love. And I keep this on my wall because it's so easy to slip into the domination and oppression pattern, having, you know, grown up in a society where that's pretty normal. It takes some undoing. And what's beautiful to me about this quote is that love is the key. It's sort of melts everything. And we can pick up the practice in this way of, you know, self-flagellating. Controlling, criticizing, condemning, you know, we can do that. And then we're missing the freedom, we're missing the tenderness, we're missing the kindness. And the empowerment, really, that the Buddha was pointing to. So this is a quote from the Majjhima Nikaya 19, and I will list the quotes. I don't actually have the reference for Bell Hooks' quote, but I can write it in the chat, and also we will put up the any references that we have. And this is from Majjhima Nikaya 19, and this is the Buddha speaking about before he was enlightened. And he's talking to a group of practitioners. So he says, "Before my enlightenment, while I was still an unenlightened bodhisattva, it occurred to me, suppose that I divide my thoughts into two classes. Then I set on one side thoughts of sensual desire, thoughts of ill will, and thoughts of harming. And I set on the other side thoughts of renunciation, letting go, thoughts of benevolence, and thoughts of harmlessness." And then he talks about dwelling ardent and resolute with this practice, not just thinking about it and like, oh yeah, I'll do that, you know, but really like staying with it, noticing when those thoughts of harm arise, when those thoughts of wanting to indulge in sensuality arise, when those thoughts of ill will or harm arise. So recognizing, and it's, there's something also quite, helpful in a way, that the Buddha's talking about before he was enlightened, this is what was going on in the mind. You know, these thoughts were coming up. Thoughts of wanting to harm, thoughts of ill will, thoughts of sensuality, and thoughts of letting go, thoughts of benevolence, thoughts of compassion. And dividing them out, recognizing, okay, these take you this direction and these take you this direction. Which direction do I want to go? So, you know, the mind, the nature of the mind is to think. The mind will keep on coming up with thoughts. And it's not that we can stop that happening, or that we're even meant to stop that happening, but it's about getting clear, having clarity and discernment about what is actually going on, and what are we nourishing with our attention? What are we feeding with our attention, with our sati? So are we feeding judgment, criticism, blame, fear, desire, jealousy, confusion? You know, are we feeding those things? Or are we... And I just want to be clear about the use of attention. So there's when we're just running along with those qualities, then we're feeding them. Then we're buying into them, we're becoming them. We're letting them steer the ship, so to speak. But if we can hold steady and have awareness and know them and know what they are and where they lead. So awareness is like a light, like a clarity, a seeing. When we can have that clear knowing, then we have a choice. We don't have to just follow them along. We can stay steady and watch the pull of those feelings, or the pain of those feelings, of those thoughts, and choose not to follow them. Choose to let them kind of die here in the heart, in the mind. Or we may want to kind of push them out of the way and put something more wholesome in instead. That can also be a helpful practice. Putting one thought in place of another. So actively cultivating wholesome thoughts, wholesome intentions. And likewise with the wholesome states, with the wholesome thoughts, thoughts of renunciation or letting go, thoughts of benevolence and compassion. Often we don't even notice, you know, we might not notice them. So we need to bring our awareness to those too, you know, to notice when the wholesome is already present. And nourish them with our attention. So it's so easy just to kind of slide towards all the things that are wrong and brush away all the things that are good, you know. So we need to turn that around, do the opposite. Bring in, appreciate the things that are good. And not brush away the things that are wrong, but understand and see the harm in following thoughts that are, you know, based in greed, in hatred, and in wishes, you know, in wishes for harm and in ill will. So to get to know the mind, you know, if we take it all too personally, we can't allow ourselves to get to know what's going on. It's too difficult. So you have to understand that, you know, these thoughts are coming through. They've got causes and conditions, and we can transform. We can transform the heart and mind. And it's not that all of the unwholesome thoughts are going to go away necessarily, probably, but that we know that we don't have to feed them. That we can just go, oh, it's you again. Mm-hmm. You know, Mara was coming to the Buddha throughout his awakened life. So it's not that these things are going to necessarily be gone, but they're not going to have the power that they used to have when we followed them, believed in them, took them to be who and what we are. So the reflection that the Buddha had around those thoughts were recognizing that the harmful thoughts lead to this. So this leads to my own affliction, to the affliction of others, to the affliction of both. And recognizing that, you know, is a motivation to let go. And with the wholesome thoughts, you know, this leads to my benefit, to the benefit of others, to the benefit of both. And then that's the incentive to appreciate and cultivate them. So most likely on this retreat, you know, there will be thoughts coming up from time to time. So to get to know what is going on. What are you feeding? What are you nurturing with your attention? So the power is in your hands. And the work is each of ours to do. So I hope that this will be a fruitful few days as we come to the end of 2021 and into the unknown of 2022. So for that this morning.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.